From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. 500 Afghans are scheduled to gather in a huge tent in Kabul this weekend to decide what kind of government their country will have. The Grand Council, or Loya Jirga, will debate a draft constitution that calls for a government with a strong president and a bicameral legislature, a government in which women would have a guaranteed role. Security is a major concern, as it has been throughout Afghanistan in the 2 years since the fall of the Taliban. Much of the country remains under the control of local warlords, whose loyalty to the central government is not always assured.
We have two reports today on Afghanistan. In a moment, we'll hear from the new U.S. ambassador about recent military operations there. First, NPR's Emily Harris traveled to the town of Gardez in eastern Afghanistan to report on efforts to disarm former militia fighters. A program now underway seeks to remove as many as 100,000 weapons from circulation over the next 3 years. It provides those who turn in their guns a one-time cash payment and the startup tools for a new career, a cow, for example, or vocational training.
In a trailer on the UN compound in Gardez, two men are holding a very small ceremony. Jobs counselor Saeed Habibullah asks former fighter Muhammad Arif to stand up. Habibullah pulls a medal out of a plastic bag, jabs its tiny gold safety pin through Arif's camouflage jacket, and offers his congratulations. Habibullah wears narrow, silver-rimmed glasses and his gray beard short. Arif has clear, tan skin and black hair. He can't write even his name. He's 25 but looks a decade older. Habibullah praises Arif for picking up a gun to liberate his country and cheers Arif's newfound desire to become an auto mechanic, a job for which demand is sure to grow, Habibullah says. Arif says he'll stay away from fighting if this program fulfills his expectations.
If I have a permanent job and I can make a living by my permanent job, I would never pick up guns anymore. But if we have anarchy and chaos once again in the country, and in the meantime I do not have a permanent job, then that would make me pick up gun once again.
Wali John, Afridi, Muhammad Ghaus, Muhammad Nasim.
As Arif leaves, more former fighters are called into the trailer. Nearly 600 Afghans have been through the disarmament process in the pilot phase here, but the hard part is still ahead.
The more pernicious problem has to do with the command and the hold that he has over these people.
UN official Sultan Aziz says for decades, Afghan commanders have been rewarded through a variety of patronage systems. 2 years ago, they were incorporated, at least on paper, into the Afghan military.
So the question is, what are they doing in their new role? They have a military uniform, they have some power, but they also are still quite strong in terms of being able to involve themselves in the lives of people economically, illegal taxation, stopping of vehicles, all sorts of, if you will, extraction.
Aziz faces the challenge of allowing the commanders to keep their status while taking away much of their power. That's made more difficult by the structure of the program, says Vikram Parekh with the International Crisis Group, a non-governmental think tank.
What ended up happening was that the Ministry of Defense had control over both key components of the disarmament process, identifying who was going to be disarmed and then collecting arms.
Not a good idea, he says, when the defense ministry is dominated by one ethnic group, the Tajiks, in a deeply factionalized country.
You're either going to have two outcomes. One is a rather cosmetic disarmament process, or you end up provoking conflict because commanders who are not prepared to turn over their arms to the Ministry of Defense or are not willing to have forces from the Ministry of Defense scout out their area and identify who has what, choose to resist it.
Some 2,000 former fighters turned in their weapons in Kabul this week, then marched in this parade. Many were part of a militia long loyal to Defense Minister Mohammad Fahim. Fahim, a Tajik, has been considered a potential rival to President Hamid Karzai. Bringing warlords and commanders on board, one way or another, is crucial for Karzai's government to survive. UN program head Sultan Aziz.
The government has to make sure that it has complete control and has the monopoly of force. It cannot share that with anybody else in the country.
The draft constitution to be debated here beginning this weekend would outlaw political parties with paramilitary structures. But many of the delegates to the Constitutional Congress are themselves associated with various armed factions, including several commanders the government is seeking to disarm. Emily Harris, NPR News, Kabul.